Larry nodded, his expression serious. Then you don't believe in these events. Ortega gave Larry a patronizing smile. I would love to believe that such things are true, Larry. There is little enough magic in the world. But I am afraid that even though we each have a part of us that wishes to believe in wondrous beings and fantastic powers, the fact of the matter is that it is simple, primitive superstition. Then, in your opinion, practitioners of the supernatural...
Frauds, Ortega said with certainty. With no offense meant to your guests, of course. All of these so-called mediums, presuming they aren't self-deluded, are simply skilled actors who have acquired a fundamental grasp of human psychology and know how to exploit it. They are easily able to deceive the gullible into believing that they can contact the dead or read thoughts or that they are in fact supernatural beings. Why, with a few minutes' effort and the right setting, I am certain that I could convince anyone in this room that I was a vampire myself.
People laughed again. I scowled at Ortega, frustration growing once more, putting more pressure on the suppression spell. The air around me started to feel warmer. A second cameraman yelped and jerked off his squealing earphones while his camera started spinning about slowly on its stand, winding power cables around the steel frame it rested on. The on-air lights went out. Larry stepped to the edge of the stage, yelling at the poor cameraman. The apologetic-looking director appeared from the wings, and Larry turned his attention to him. The man bore the scolding with a kind of oxen-like patience and then examined the camera. He muttered something into his headset, and he and the shaken cameraman began to wheel the dead camera away. Larry folded his arms impatiently, then turned to the guests and said, "I'm sorry. Give us a couple of minutes to get a spare camera in. It won't take long."
"No problem, Larry," Ortega assured him. "We can just chat for a moment."
Larry peered at me. "Are you all right, Mr. Dresden?" he asked. "You look a little pale. Could you use a drink or something?"
"I know I could," Ortega said, his eyes on me.
"I'll have someone bring them out," Larry said, and strode off stage toward his hairstylist. Mort had engaged Father Vincent in quiet conversation, his back very firmly turned toward me. I turned back to Ortega, warily, my back stiff, and fought down the anger and fear. Usually being scared out of my mind is kind of useful. Magic comes from emotions, and terror is handy fuel. But this wasn't the place to start calling up gales of wind or flashes of fire. There were too many people around, and it would be too easy to get someone hurt, even killed. Besides which, Ortega was right. This wasn't the place to fight. If he was here, he wanted to talk. Otherwise, he would have simply jumped me in the parking garage.
"Okay," I said finally. "What do you want to say?"
He leaned a little closer so that he wouldn't have to raise his voice. I cringed inwardly, but I didn't flinch away.
"I've come to Chicago to kill you, Mr. Dresden. But I have a proposal for you that I want you to hear first."
"You really need to work on your opening technique," I said. "I read a book about negotiations. I could loan it to you." He gave me a humorless smile.
"The war, Dresden. The war between your people and mine is too costly for both of us."
"War's a pretty stupid option to take, generally speaking," I said. "I never wanted it."
"But you began it," Ortega said. "You began it over a point of principle."
"I began it over a human life."
"And how many more would you save by ending it now?" Ortega asked.
"Not merely wizards suffer from this.
Our attention to the war leaves us less able to control the wilder elements of our own court. We frown upon reckless killings, but wounded or leaderless members of our courts often kill when they do not truly need to. Ending the war now would save hundreds, perhaps thousands of lives."
"So would killing every vampire on the planet. What's your point?" Ortega smiled, showing teeth. Just regular teeth, no long canines or anything. The vampires of the Red Court look human, right up until they turn into something out of a nightmare.
The point, Dresden, is that the war is unprofitable, undesirable. You are the symbolic cause of it to my people, and the point of contention between us and your own White Council. Once you are slain, the Council will accept peace overtures, as will the court. So you're asking me to lay down and die? That's not much of an offer. You really need to read that book. I'm making you an offer. Face me in single combat, Dresden. I didn't quite laugh at him. Why the hell should I do that? His eyes were expressionless. Because if you do, it would mean that the warriors I have brought to town with me will not be forced to target your friends and allies. That the mortal assassins we have retained will not need to receive their final confirmations to kill a number of clients who have hired you in the past 5 years. I'm sure I need not mention names.